Welcome into Locked On Knicks. Gavin Shaw back with Alex Wolf and back with another big guest, Nate Duncan, the longtime host of the Dunked On podcast, more recently of the Hollinger and Duncan podcast. One of the smartest guys covering the NBA period. I don't think there's a writer out there that watches more film than Nate. We were planning on mostly talking about the Knicks' current roster with him, Alex, but fortunately, since I emailed Nate to come on, the Knicks have hired a new head coach.
Yeah, and today's episode is all about Tom Thibodeau and, you know, all kinds of stuff about him. You know, how Nate thinks that he's going to fit with the Knicks, whether hiring Tibbs was actually more of kind of a safe hire than, you know, one where they're shooting for the stars. And, you know, also how the current roster and, you know, some of the players with their mentalities will be able to fit with Tibbs. So all that and more next on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I think we see Willis coming out. There he comes right now.
Starts with a five. Ewing for the win. Yes.
Thompson puck left. Now fires a three.
And he scores. And he's fouled. It's tough. And he makes fouled.
Anthony for three.
You are Locked On Knicks. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. We promised a great guest, and we have one, the longtime host of the Dunked On podcast, and as of a year ago, our co-worker as the co-host of the Hollinger and Duncan podcast. I make sure to catch every episode. One of the smartest guys covering the league, period. Nate Duncan. Nate, thank you so much for joining us from the West Coast.
Hey, thanks for having me. And yeah, I mean, I guess the podcasting industry is now so mature that there are longtime podcast hosts, huh?
Yeah, relative to the industry, I would say. I remember just listening to you guys like a couple years back and getting very, very into all of it. It was a level of NBA analysis that I don't think is out there all that much, even with as many podcasts as there are. And even today, I still think what you guys do is pretty unique. So I'm a longtime fan, a big fan. And because of that, we wanted to have you on. And we were going to talk about RJ Barrett, but since I sent you an email to come on, the Knicks have a new head coach. So I'll just start off by asking you, what was your reaction to the Tom Thibodeau hire?
Yeah, it seemed like it was going to be fait accompli at this point. That report from Stephen Bondi that the contract negotiations had broken down were somewhat reminiscent of 2014 with Steve Kerr. But it seems like Leon Rose got the Knicks to step up with a fifth year, which is what Thibodeau wanted. That surprised me that it was a fifth year, given that, you know, Thibodeau, to me, didn't have a ton of leverage in terms of other jobs. But maybe there's a thought that Minnesota stint was an aberration and he's going to go back to having the impact that he had with the Bulls. But I do kind of question that a little bit. I think that it is good for the Knicks to have hired or interviewed all these candidates, and they've hired Thibodeau despite his connections to Van Gundy, who still seems to sort of be persona non grata there a little bit. And so to have gotten over that personal element, I think is a good thing, and to hire the candidate that they think is the best. But then there's also, number one, he's got these CEA connections to Leon Rose, and he was deemed the front runner for a long time. And I just don't think that he is necessarily he's not a tabula rasa the way some other coaches who might actually be really good are. I think he's going to be competent, but not amazing, is kind of my thought on it.
What's your thoughts on the Knicks process so far, as far as it's coming out that they're going to try to influence his assistant coaching hires? I mean, do you think that that's something that maybe stalled the negotiations a little bit as well, in that Tibbs has kind of always had his people, and now the Knicks are saying, you know, I've seen Mike Miller's name float around, Mike Woodson, guys like that. Do you think that was maybe a sticking point as well? I mean, that seemed like something to me that maybe would have push the negotiations a little bit, you know, as far as them getting Tibbs to sort of agree to that.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why he felt like he could get the fifth year, and they kind of bought his silence on that issue. Yeah, you make a good point there that hadn't occurred to me, but that is really very plausible. But I do think that might actually help Thibodeau, because he does kind of have this insular reputation. He likes to do things his way. He's kind of got his guys that he likes to bring in as assistants. And I do think that he needs to change a little bit from the coach that he was in Chicago and Minnesota. And so I also think Mike Miller did a really good job. He's got a good relationship with the players who are already on the roster, it would seem. And so that's not crazy to me that the Knicks would want to do that, in particular with this coach, just because he doubles down by getting a bunch of coaches who are like him, and maybe some more diversity on the staff could be useful for someone who's can be described as myopic at times in terms of his focus.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Just a quick reminder, today's show is brought to you by rockauto.com. I don't know if you've ever been into a chain auto parts store. I'm sure you could think of a few off the top of your head. Some of them have some very catchy jingles on TV and whatever. But then you go into the actual store and the experience isn't that great. You go in, they ask you all these probing questions about your car, about the make, about the part you're looking for. And, you know, they aren't honestly looking to guide you in the right direction that well. They're kind of just trying to, you know, get the info out of you without realizing that maybe you don't know that info. And then, you know, it makes you feel kind of like you don't know what you're talking about. And, you know, that's how I certainly feel. I go into an auto parts store. I'm mostly, you know, I'm a YouTube mechanic, so I would call myself. You know, I go in and I've looked up how to do something. I think, hey, I think I could do this. I go in and ask for the part. And then if they ask me many questions beyond that, I'm like, man, I don't know. Like, I'm not a mechanic. But that's where rockauto.com comes in, because you can go on there. You can shop at your leisure. Everything is very easily sorted into categories for you when you get onto the website. You just go right on. As soon as you log on to rockauto.com, you'll see that there's like every make of car known to man. And so you find your make of car, click on that, find your year of your vehicle, you click on that, and then find your make of your vehicle, and then click on that, and then finally click on the trim package, click on that. And it's super simple, takes you right through a nice little drop-down menu, and then eventually you get to the point where once you click on the trim package of your car, you see all the parts that are available for it, sorted into easy-to-sort categories. And it's just honestly a joy to shop through there. I know I've been talking about it for about a month, but even in quarantine, I still put off my projects sometimes. I am someday soon, though, maybe once it gets a little cooler outside, going to replace the hitch receiver on my car, my 2009 Subaru Forester. And I was not only greeted with the fact that they had the part that I needed, but I had about 5 different options with different towing weights available, you know, different receiver sizes, all kinds of things that I could choose from. And it was all spelled out in plain English for me so I can make an educated decision and not break the bank, because rockauto.com charges me, a YouTube mechanic, the same as my local mechanic in town, whereas some of those other big box stores are going to charge you, the average consumer, more than a mechanic, which, you know, isn't fair, especially in today's age where rockauto.com exists. So if you are interested in getting some parts for your car at rockauto.com, just go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And when you do, be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so that they know we sent you when you get your part that you need to try your own little project at home. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
So is there anyone in the pool, Nate, of the maybe 50 or so guys the Knicks ended up interviewing, who you would have picked over Tom Thibodeau? And I think that it's sort of a loaded question, because it's hard enough to judge coaches when they've been around for 5-10 years. And even with Tibbs, we've been talking about him for weeks, and it's so difficult to separate, all right, how much is Tibbs and how much is his personnel? Like in Chicago, he has this brilliant defense, and clearly he made at the time, with what he was doing in terms of pick and rolls and blocking off the middle, it was extremely innovative. And then in Minnesota, all of a sudden, it felt like the rest of the league caught up, and they were consistently one of the worst defenses in basketball. And it was really hard to separate. Was that because Tibbs fell behind, or was it because he was playing Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns at two key points every single night for nearly 40 minutes a night? And then when you look at assistant coaches, I think it's almost impossible to say, what will this guy be as a head coach? And it's come out that guys like Will Hardy and Jamal Mosley were really impressive in interviews. And to me, I was sort of hoping, and I think this is what you're getting at in your initial answer, they were sort of going to go out of left field and find the next quote-unquote wunderkind who was sort of ahead of the curve tactically versus someone like Tibbs, who at least based on his track record is a little bit behind. So very long-winded way of asking, was there anyone else that you liked more than Tibbs? And maybe it was even one of the middle ground options like a Mike Miller or Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah, so I think where I'll start with this is just my general philosophy on coaching retreads, especially if a guy has already had two jobs, is my philosophy is we don't actually know who's going to be a good coach before they get hired, particularly in the media. Maybe you can do a better job if you're someone who's on the inside. You really get to interview these people. You can talk to the other people that they have worked with. It's really difficult to say, you know, what is this assistant responsible for in an organization? I mean, it's hard enough to know whether head coaches are good, not to mention assistants. And then to even know whether a good assistant would make a good head coach. Like all of that is very difficult. And so my thought is that in some ways, you know, is there's really the coaches who make a difference are the ones who are those really top five, top 10 coaches. And if you look at the history of people who have become those type of coaches, some of the greatest coaches in NBA history, Pat Riley, Phil Jackson, Greg Popovich, Nick Nurse, another one too, they all really were pretty unheralded before they were brought in. And so I don't really think that you know beforehand who's going to be a great coach, but you know that someone like Thibodeau, he's already has a track record. And, you know, I think we thought he might be really good in Chicago, but then some of his tricks may have gotten a little bit old. And then he didn't do very well in Minnesota with what he was supposed to do, which is the defense. And he's got some other warts in terms of getting along with the organization and the minutes load, and, you know, maybe didn't develop young players that well in Minnesota. So to me, if you know that Tom Thibodeau is pretty mediocre, why not shoot for doing something better? You may not hit, but you might as well take a chance at getting someone who's really, really good. And so that's a long-winded way of saying, you know, maybe you could apply that to someone like Mike Miller. I thought he actually was pretty good. I mean, you guys would know better than I do, because I'm sure you watched all those games, but I thought I would rather have hired Mike Miller than Tom Thibodeau. And I think Kenny Atkinson as well, you know, he's criticized for maybe not being like the highest level of strategist, but he also is a proven development coach, first in Atlanta and then in Brooklyn. And so that's obviously what this Knicks team needs for where they're at more than anything. So those are the two candidates that really stuck out to me. Mosley, I'm not quite as familiar with. Will Hardy, Ime Udoka. But all of those, I think I would have preferred ultimately any of those, just because you have a chance at someone who's really good. With Tom Thibodeau, I just, the upside with him to me is not there.
Yeah, that was my inclination as well. And the pushback you'll hear from Knicks fans and pundits is that they went that route a couple of times recently with Derek Fisher and David Fizdale. And you can argue, okay, if you're doing the right thing, but you're doing it in a very poor way and hiring the wrong people, like maybe it's not going to work. And Derek Fisher clearly wasn't ready for the job. David Fizdale, despite success in Memphis, was a complete disaster. And Mike Miller sort of painted that into stark relief, where the Knicks all of a sudden got, to your point, extremely competent, if nothing else, once he was hired. And to me, there was a glaring stat that was pointed out on the Knicks Film School podcast with Mitchell Robinson on the floor under David Fizdale. They were a minus 15 per 100 possessions, and they were a plus like one or two with him on the floor under Mike Miller. So it just gives you an idea of what a good coach can do versus a bad coach. And I tend to agree with you on Tibbs' ceiling, but I guess the argument is his floor is needed when the organization has been in such disarray for 20 seasons. And the idea that he can build a culture and foundation of at least competency is extremely appealing. So I'll ask you this. In the best case scenario, do you think there's a world where he could be, and obviously the Knicks don't have the kind of talent that Golden State had, but could he be the Mark Jackson to his potential successor, Steve Kerr, in that he sets a tone, there's some good things in terms of player development, and then a more innovative coach down the road could come in and win big with the foundation that he set?
Yeah, you know, I think of it a little bit differently, where I think, you know, I see your point about, okay, we're just going to like establish a baseline level of NBA competence. And also, for some reason, like, a lot of stars seem to like really believe in Thibodeau. And, you know, part of that might be that he's had these stints as a Team USA coach. And so he has a few more relationships there. And so maybe the thought is that this just brings more respectability to the organization, might give them a better chance in free agency as well. Although, obviously, the organization's unwillingness to make a Black Lives Matter statement and, you know, just the overall aura of Dolan could undermine that much more than Thibodeau is going to help it. But maybe that's a thought too with Leon Rose, again, another guy who's been a big relationship guy over the years. So maybe there's the thought that he can help rebuild in that way. But as far as, you know, kind of the young players, I mean, Mark Jackson was all about, you know, as a coach, I think is kind of the polar opposite of Thibodeau, where he was like, no, I'm going to let you do your thing. He was a player's coach. He wanted to instill confidence in the young players, let them really explore the studio space. Whereas Thibodeau, you know, it's much more regimented overall in his approach. So I don't know that I necessarily see that comparison. And one other thing you said I wanted to react to as well is, you know, the Knicks fans are like, hey, we went with the unproven guy. It didn't really work out. As well, I wouldn't necessarily put Fizdale in that category, but Derek Fisher was a first-time hire. And, you know, Fisher also was constrained by the need to run the triangle and all the Phil Jackson stuff as well. But I think you got to think, particularly in the situation that the Knicks are in, of a coach the same as you would a draft pick, right? Are you going to go, you know, Tom Thibodeau is your four-year senior who, yeah, you know, he's going to bring some level of competence. He's not, the organization's not going to be an embarrassment under him. Like, he's going to be really prepared. You know that he's done it before. But is the upside there? And so I think you just keep taking some bites at the apple with the coach. And hey, it might not work out, but this is a team that really needs like a very high level of coach. And yeah, you may not find that guy, but at least take some chances to find him. It would be my thought, the same way as you would go for kind of the higher upside prospect where the Knicks are right now in a rebuilding situation. They need more talent.
You know, I've been kind of thinking about this since Tibbs came up as a potential candidate for the Knicks, and it sort of piggybacks on some of the things you were just saying. But you know, I think my general inclination has been that it seems like Tibbs requires a certain type of player to be able to be successful, you know, and like he needs players that are willing to buy in to whatever he's doing and basically fall in line more or less. Like he doesn't need the super free spirit types that are going to, you know, get in his face. Like he needs, it seems like he needs to be the boss and, you know, people need to follow what he's trying to preach. And I think like, I don't know, I keep seeing everything about how his tenure in Minnesota was, you know, disappointing, which I mean, you could argue, yeah, it was, you know, based off of whatever, you know, whatever metrics you want to look at, whatever, but there was, you know, the 1 year when they really should have been competing there, they did do pretty well as long as Jimmy Butler was healthy to basically lead the team. And, you know, they were, I think, a 3 or 4 seed in the West that year before he got hurt. And then they sort of fell off for a few weeks and then he came back.
Yeah.
And they managed
just read Thibodeau's interview with Frank Isola to hear every single stat about how good they were.
Yes.
Did you read that interview? That was crazy. Like, was Thibodeau like reading from a script with like all the stats as he was doing the interview? It was amazing.
You know, knowing how manic he is with, you know, basketball, I wouldn't be surprised if he sat there and memorized every single one of those before they got on the phone to answer that interview or whatever. But regardless, yeah, it's you know, I guess my point being, do you think that, you know, this time around that maybe the Knicks, based off the fact that, I mean, surprisingly, they actually have a team that's more focused on defense, you know, at least in player skill sets than offense for the first time in like forever. You know, their most important young players, RJ Barrett, Mitchell Robinson, Frank Ntilikina, you know, all are at least slightly above average to fantastic defenders. And, you know, I don't think that Tibbs had that in Minnesota, particularly at the center spot, you know, where he had leaned on Joakim Noah for so many years to be the anchor of that Chicago defense. You know, Carl Towns just wasn't it. And Mitchell Robinson can be it, you know, if he has the right coach to guide him. Do you think that there's something to be said for the fact that maybe Tibbs can reclaim some of the glory that he had in Chicago, maybe get a little more shine back on him with this roster versus the roster that he took over in Minnesota that maybe wasn't quite aligned with his philosophies, so to speak?
Yeah, you make an interesting point there that the sample size with coaches and rosters is not high, right? And so you could easily say, hey, you know what? Carl Anthony Towns has failed defensively with every coach that he's ever had. I think that he's on like coach number 5 right now. And so maybe it's just the issue was that Carl Anthony Towns is just never going to defend no matter who the coach is. And Tom Thibodeau, at least when Jimmy Butler was on the floor, got them to defend somewhat competently when he was there. Now Towns didn't really care for Thibodeau as well. You know, some of the other young guys didn't particularly develop under Thibodeau's watch in Minnesota, but you could just say, hey, you know what? That's what it is. Carl Anthony Towns is never going to defend. He doesn't have the mentality for it. And, you know, it's not Tom Thibodeau's fault. You know, I think you could talk yourself into that. And you could say that, yeah, you know, Mitchell Robinson can be his Joakim Noah in New York. And that is, you know, it wouldn't shock me to see a pretty good improvement in the first year if, you know, they can leverage some of that defensive ability that you talked about among the young players. And Tibbs has a track record of getting young players to defend, at least in Chicago. So, yeah, I think that's not totally unrealistic to say that, hey, maybe this roster could be a better fit for him, at least defensively. I don't know how the heck they're going to score, but I think they might at least be able to get in the top half of the league in defense with this group and make some big improvements. But ultimately, the question is, you know, if they're the 14th ranked defense next year under Thibodeau, are you really feeling that much better? I mean, I think Mitchell Robinson could be an awesome foundational piece, but you know, where are those other pieces coming from? That to me is kind of the real question. And is he going to rely on veterans for more short-term defensive improvement? Those are some of the things that come to mind for me.
All right, guys, we are going to stop it right there. If you want more from Nate, all you got to do is tune in tomorrow morning because we have another episode coming out. He gives his thoughts on RJ Barrett and throws a question back at us that caught me off guard a little bit. What is RJ Barrett's ceiling? And we got to ask Nate if there were any other young guys on the roster that piqued his interest. And finally, a couple of bubble takes and where you can watch Nate broadcast NBA basketball on League Pass this week.